things of disappointment. There's lots of things we can temporarily find some kind of a trust or a hold on. You know, I can trust in a bank account for so long, but if there isn't something being supplied in there, that's going to run out. It's so simplistic and it's so easy. God has laid this thing out for us so easily. If we're not careful, we'll become so numb to it that the cares of this life and what we're trying to do and trying to accomplish in life, and this is what we want and our desires and this and that, not that any of those things are necessarily bad, but we can get so wrapped up in those that it's like a tornado, that at some point we get to, why is things not working out? Why am I feel so strung out? Why am I exhausted? Well, it's because Jesus is the oasis, but you're not going to the oasis. You have to believe. And in believing, you act on that and you live that way. It's one... Go ahead. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. I just... Let me share this lyric with you. If I can get through the thing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. That is... Guys, that rubs the flesh wrong. It goes against the grain because it's got to be more complicated than that. I have to do something. I have to feel this accomplishment. Jeremy, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. And I'm telling you, in the midst of the storms of life, we should be able to say, thus saith the Lord. And find rest there. That's what the fruit of the Spirit with rest and joy and peace is in the midst of everything pushing against those things to be able to say, just to know. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Remember where our healing comes from. Remember where our solace comes from. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply talking. Life. Oh, I love that one. And rest, and joy, and peace, because he says so. Do we realize that there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved? Do we realize it's in him we live and move and have our being? Do we realize Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me. Do we realize Scripture says that at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess? I believe we covered this last Sunday. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I hope we're getting it. I hope that isn't just, Eddie, please get on to something else. There is nothing else. If you don't have a solid foundation structure in Jesus Christ, you can say all the scripture you want to. You can sing all the songs you want to. If it's not who you are and you're becoming who he is, you're struggling, you're crawdadding, you're doing all these things and wondering why God just don't bless us like he blesses someone else. I'm telling you, it's because somebody else has surrendered. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know thou art with me and will be with me until the end. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll stick closer than a brother, even to the end of the world. I'm saying all these things because we have got to get it. Because things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. We're told that. We're going to face persecution. We're going to face all kinds of stuff. We're going to need to know where the source of strength is. We're going to need to know where our salvation lies. Because it's not in mighty works. It's not in quoting Scripture. It's in trusting in Jesus Christ, period. Those things come after the fact. I promise we'll try to get to the lesson in a little bit. Just real quick, just the course of this one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Please don't put your trust. Please don't confide in everything else. If somebody or something or some place or whatever is filling in the blank of Jesus Christ in your life, you're struggling. You're living below privilege. You're not fully realizing the full potential of peace and joy and rest. I'm not talking about material nonsense. I'm talking about true peace and joy and rest. I could probably ask everyone in here to share with something they're struggling with just this week in their family, in their job, in their whatever that we're struggling with. I'm telling you, Jesus knows all about it. Take it to Him. Take it to Him. Okay, one more. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. This next set of lyrics should hit all of us. I hope it just plows you over. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to Him in prayer. Prayer is not the last resort, not the whatever. It should be our ongoing, without ceasing conversation with Him. Yes, there's time when we get serious with things and there's an earnestness there that we're taking care of a problem. Just like here this morning with Sister Nancy. But we need to have an ongoing conversation with Him. He's right there. He said He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If we truly believe what the Word of God says, we'll live that way. We'll trust that way. Sorry. I apologize. I'm talking about my nasal action. What is an expression of agreement? Anybody? There's a real popular one, starts with the letter A, and here we use all the time. Amen. What's another one? Start practicing witnessing in agreement. Praying in agreement. I'm telling you, folks, it will. A silent witness is no witness. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Eddie, that's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, you just go ahead and make up your mind on that and your choice on that. That's fine. You do what you want to do. But I'm telling you, speak, witness, agree. What scripture say about two or three? If they agree, it shall be done of them of my Father. Agree. How can you agree? Matt, are we agreeing right now? Okay, don't say anything. Are we agreeing right now? Well, we don't know, do we? Until we say, yes, we are, he said. We solidify it. We sign on the dotted line by saying something. From the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Well, Eddie, I don't have to say that. Fine, you go ahead and do that and live that way. Once you change and decide to try it, if you want to say it that way, whatever, watch and see what God can do. It's kind of like trying to handle everything on your own, and then you finally realize you need to give it and let God do it, and then you're blown away by what He does in your life. Or you want, once you realize you don't pay tithes, you bring the tithes to the Lord. It's my responsibility. No, once you're doing that out of the heart and out of what you're supposed to do because you believe what the Word of God says, you're going to be obedient to it, you just watch and see what God does. It's like about everything, everything else in the Word of God. If you give Him place, God, let Him have His place, let Him be who He's supposed to be, it'll blow you away. But you can convince yourself, conscience and whatever, you're doing that and you're not doing that. Oh, I trust and love the Lord, but I only do the part that's convenient for me. You're going to struggle. And it's going to be evident in your life and it's going to be before you day in and day out. And you know that. And down in your heart, you know that. Let's go to lesson number 6. How about it? The Bible and culture We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, starting out. Really, really good chapter. Does anybody know how that one starts out? Matthew chapter 5. Yes. The little bees starting out there. What they used to call them, Beatitudes? I'm going to read the golden text. My goodness, what a mouthful the golden text is. The memory verse this morning says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We don't do things to be lifted up of ourselves, to boast or promote ourselves. We do things so people can see God's goodness. That's what witness is a lot about. going to all the world in ESP, the gospel. No. We need to use our mouth. Now, wait a minute, Eddie. It says that every idle word will be judged, and let your words be few on the earth. You know, that's without God. That's of your own self. As He ministers to you and as you're living His witness before men, let her rip. Tell of His goodness. I mean, make people sick of hearing about it. Tell people. Speak. Witness. Not this last Wednesday night, but the Wednesday night before, as one of the main big topics of Brother Mitch's sermon. Testify. Tell. Share. You can't share of God's goodness in your life if you don't say nothing about it. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. I missed out, sounds like, Wednesday night. Wonderful spirit here. I think he's still lingering around. You think? Duh. he's so faithful, guys. He's so faithful. Where two or three are gathered, I'll be in the midst, he says. If any two of you, like Matt was just saying, shall agree on anything, it'll be done. I'm telling you, it's if my words abide in you and you abide in my word, ask what you will. He is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth." Rose, you're the salt of the earth. Amen. Tony, the salt of the earth. Caitlin, the salt of the earth. A preserver. A season in the earth. That's not Eddie telling you, that's Scripture. I believe this is Jesus' words here. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, how in the world is it going to be salted? If you're not doing your part, how's it going to get done? There is no other Amanda Cottle on the earth. There is no other Curtis Mashford. They're the only ones. If they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, how is it going to get done? It's henceforth good for nothing, like plastic fruit, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men." Does that sound, is that not, what's the word, stern? Straightforward. I'm telling you, this is our Savior saying, if you lose your savor, if you're not going to be the salt and the light, preserving, seasoning, you're good for nothing. Do we realize He chose us, called us, ordained us for a specific purpose, and we're to be walking that and living that out before men, and we're going to get to it in verse 16 again here in a minute, so that we preserve what's going on, what God's trying to do in this world, to spread His gospel, to shine our lights, to let everybody know who Christ is. If we're not doing that, we are good for nothing. I don't like hearing it any more than you do, but that's what the truth is. We need to get a good comprehension of that and live by that and let that move us and mold us and shape us into what Jesus is and who He is and what He's trying to do and what He's trying to accomplish in your life. 14, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid." Now that's kind of twofold. That's a yay thing, and that's a knock your knees back and forth kind of thing. You are being watched of men. You are a witness before men, an ambassador of Christ unto men. 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It gives light unto all that are in the house. We're talking about Nancy's life here, Nicole's life, Melissa's life, all of our lives. That's what we're called into, to be set up to shine light in a dark place. I believe it was Peter, it may have been Paul, said that he has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's what he's called you to do for other people, to shine your light in a dark place so they can see that light, so he can draw them out of that darkness and into the same light. Witness. This is so much more than just us, me, my four, and no more, and bless me, and all that. I mean, that's well and good, but he wants us to get past that. And in getting past that, oh, if we would just realize how much that's taken care of in the taking care of others, taking care of other things, being faithful to what he's called us into. Verse 16, let your light, okay, listen to this. We don't have to turn there if you don't want to. John 3:16. Somebody just start it. So loved. Okay, stop. Let's say it again. For God so loved. Okay, how was that displayed? It was displayed like this. So loved. Let me show you. Now, look at this verse. Let your light so shine. We're supposed to be zealous of good works. We're talking about shining our light before men so that they may see God in our lives and glorify Him. To be zealous of Him. You know what zealous means? Energetic, a little charismatic, getting something done. God, just cannot hardly talk enough about it. Oh, just get started. Let's say, instead of somebody saying Jesus or whatever, and we kind of, don't be ashamed. He'll be ashamed of you. Make sure you're confessing. That means you use your mouth before men. Because if we don't, well, there's another talking scripture right there. If we're not saying something for Him, He just might close His mouth before the Father and not mention your name. That's a knee knocker there. I mean, that ought to, well, we don't have to have fear in this. I'm telling you, He's a consuming fire. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. There should be, He just said, Rose, if you don't shine your light, if you're not seasoning, and if you're not preserving, you're good for nothing. That Jesus said that. Don't you think this big loving Abba Father, and I mean that those words with respect, is just gonna sweep it all under the rug, and everybody, that's why He warns us. Not all that say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, are gonna enter in. Many shall say, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not? It's not about what you've done. It's not about things that promote you and everything about display and whatnot. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, the light's going to be emanating, is that a word, without us even trying. It'll speak for itself. Okay? Shine. There's something different about you. Are you a Christian? You know, you'll be confronted with these things of inquiry because your light's shining in a dark place. And people will see it and they want to glorify God for it. That's scripture. Right. Amen. Amen. Wonderful point. And we've all struggled with that, I'm sure, at some point. And it's interesting that you say to be so self-centered. I don't want to look bad in front of somebody, but we say we don't want to make God look bad. Anybody see where I'm coming from? We'll kind of push it off on some kind of holy concern. Just get out there and be you. One of the worst things you can do is try to be somebody else or be something you aren't. God didn't call you to that. He called Mitch to be Mitch. He called Rose to be Rose, thank God, and she does it just fine. Called a man to be a man, and Nancy to be Nancy, and Eddie to be Eddie. I learned a long time ago, I'm not supposed to be somebody else. I'm supposed to be who I am. I'm the best at it. I can whoop you at it in a coma and laying on my deathbed, and you, your best day trying to be me. I'm the best at it. Beep. And you're the best at being you. So go shine. And don't just shine, so shine. And let people see. And don't be afraid of making mistakes. My goodness, if you make a mistake, just get it right with me and we'll move on. Pick up the pieces and carry on. You cannot get something done unless you try. Sister. Amen. Yes. Yes. Very well said. It should not and is not supposed to be the other way around. Secularism, outside world, outside faith, outside God, is not supposed to be penetrating the church world and causing it to be molded or shaped in any way outside of Christ. Sad to say, that's happened a little. Well, that's happened. Don't let it happen in you. If it has happened, get before God, get it right, and change. Change. Amen. Amen. Yes, 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 yes. And I love how she ended that up. Dana, how you said, but then when I started and got that thing, I was doing things less. Sinning less, making mistakes less. That's one of those things that it just doesn't maybe say in black and white for our pea brain minds to get it that way. But in the Word of God, it's amazing how things are taken care of. The little things we think are just so important and strive for in a baby state. You understand what I'm saying? That when we mature and see things, those little things that we were so concerned about just kind of take care of themselves. Kind of like if you get your mind off of self and start getting it on other people and being concerned about other people, God takes care of your needs. I mean, consider the lilies, consider the birds, all these kinds of things. God knows what you have need of. He says that He'll take care of those things. But when we're striving to take care of those things, we ain't got our mind on anyone else but us so that we can make sure we're taken care of. We're going to struggle, we're going to struggle, we're going to struggle. When we get our mind off of things that God says, I'm already going to take care of, so hey, I need you to do this, then go start doing this, these things will be taken care of. The problem is us trying to do God's job, trying to sit on His throne and be Him. We don't call it that. We call it, well, I'm taking care of me and mine. We don't call it sitting on God's throne. We call it, this is common sense. Or we can fill in the blank with a lot of other things. I'm telling you, don't get in God's way. Let Him be God. Them. Right, right. Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank God. Praise the Lord. That's how it works. You're absolutely right. God is a God of variety, and He uses those in whom He chooses. Yes. Good thought. Good thought. What's your wattage? Got plenty of volts. Plenty of volts access to it anyways. What's your wattage? My goodness. Just read just through a little bit of this stuff here right quick while we're waiting for the rest of the class to come back in. Our ability to be salt and light to the culture of the world is dependent on our having a life-transforming relationship with Christ by faith in Him. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, for without me you can do nothing." Regardless of the special callings and ministries that we may have as Christians, our first calling is simply to be a real Christian. And in being that, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. The danger we face in relation to the culture of the world is that we will be deceived and allured by corrupted culture of this world. Cease to abide in Christ and be assimilated into a culture of this world. If this happens, we will not be salt and light, having a good influence on the culture of this world. This does not have to happen. We must not allow it to happen. In other words, what we were saying earlier, we aren't to go into the world and allow them to mold us and shape us or penetrate our beliefs or make us change and consider some things. It's the other way around. And that almost sounds a little weird, but understand it like this. The Word of God is truth. And if you're not standing and living by the Word of God, can I just say you're wrong? The Word of God is truth. It is light. It is sustenance. It is our foundation. God holds that above everything else. His Word, because it's the truth. The truth makes us free. Free of condemnation. Free from the law, free from everything. The truth does. Living by the truth. His Word is truth. Amen? let me see here. If you want to read your quarterly, which I think that would be great if you haven't already, you can read through the second section there. It talks about Scripture and gifts and talents. It calls it arts and different things in the quarterly, but it's exactly what Mitch was just saying. There are giftings, there are talents in you that make up who you are. Make no mistake, God's put that in there. That was God's doing. Amen. Yes, yes, and to function in its way. You remember where Christ said the toe can't say to the elbow, or, you know, and uses these different examples. I have no need of you. If the whole body were a nose, where's the seeing? If the whole body were an eye, where's the smelling? We all have our part, and God's made it that way. Excel at who you are. Absolutely. We all have our place. We all have our abilities. But excel and have a zealous push to shine your light, and so shine your light, to grow. So that we all, us little bubs, as she says, can be these huge, ginormous LED, who needs the sun type of lights. I want to read this scripture just real quick. This Philippians 4. 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and are of good report, if there's going to be any virtue, if there's going to be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That sounds simplistic, doesn't it? That sounds, well, there's got to be more to it than this. I'm telling you guys, this is our call. This is what we're to do. The first thing is the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If there's going to be any virtuous things in our life, if there's going to be anything producing any praise to God, these are the things that needs to be on our mind. Where we get so cumbered up about with every this and every that and whatever is because we get our mind off of those things and onto other things. I hope we're listening. I hope we're getting this. Then verse 9, those things which ye have both learned, you've received them, and you've heard and seen, do those things. Trust that way. Believe that way. Live your life that way. Don't fall back on something else or some carnal or some kind of natural man, this is what we're supposed to do thing. The things that we've learned, we've received, we've seen, we've witnessed, this works, this is the truth, do these things. Then the God of peace shall be with you. Scripture that come to my mind while Nancy was up here and we was in prayer. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. I know we use that a lot, but it's so valid. I'm going to turn there real, real quick. Love this second verse. I'll say of the Lord. I'll what? What? I'll say. There's something to that. Your witness will go so far, then at some point you're going to have to open up your mouth and speak of Jesus Christ. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, Nancy. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He is my God. And in Him, and we could add, only will I trust. Then it goes on down through there. I think all the way down to verse 9. Surely He'll do this. Surely He'll do that. He'll do this. He'll do that. He'll do that. But as Pastor brought out so awesome, that message. Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. See, we have to stay there. Stop saying that we're going to do that. Stop acting like we're going to do that, and then we go and do other things. Believe it, the things that you've seen, the things that you've learned, the things that you've received. Does anyone receive Psalms 91 in here? Of course we have. If you don't, receive it. If you're having struggles with it, get before God on it before you do anything else. Because He promises that if you will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that means you make your habitation there, just like it's talking about in verse 9. Amen? shall abide under, what is a shadow? It's refuge, it's fortress, it's protection, it's provision of the Almighty. That doesn't mean dandelions and tulips and everything's just going to be fleshly, the best it's going to be. Spiritually, on the other hand, in the midst of storms, in the midst of everything life can throw us, and I mean horrific, sinful, yucky, between a rock and a hard place, what are we going to do type of things, we can do as Jesus did in the midst of the storm, just take a nap. I mean, the boat going like this, almost capping over, tossed over. Don't you care that we perish? And he's just fine. Why, Rose? Because he knows who his refuge is. He knows... I'm just trying to picture Jesus getting up from trying to sleep. Calm down out there. You know, who is this that even the wind... He's the very name that we're given whereby we must be saved. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. We can do nothing without him. I can do all things through him. All these wonderful things through Jesus Christ. If you're not a living, walking, talking example of Jesus Christ, you're not fulfilling your role, salt and light. We need to be the salt. We need to be the light. That means we need to be zealous to speak and zealous to live out, like Sister Terry was talking about, before men, that they may see the good works in us. Be zealous of good works. Tell of the... You know what us Christians are... I ought to flip this thing up now. You know what we are bad about doing? We'll get blessed and then give an excuse about it. Because, well, we don't want people to think more highly. Jeremy, tell of what God's doing in your life. I didn't say tell of what fool, stupid decision you make that a few years down the road you're going to have to, you know, stinking declare bankruptcy or something over. I'm telling you, tell of his goodness and what God's doing in your life. Amen? Amen. May the name of the Lord be honored and glorified this morning in our hearts and in our lives. May he continue to minister and move and have his will this morning. Be yielded to the Lord. Be yielded to his word. The lesson this morning is go and shine your light. Be a living example. The world needs it, guys. Wide are the gates. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Why? Because sin is on a rampage. And people that it wasn't even created for, it wasn't even prepared for, are going in by the droves. We need to shine our lights. We need to open up our mouth and confess Jesus Christ and speak of what he's doing in our life. And if you have nothing, and I know this hurts, and I know this kind of hits home or whatever, but if you have nothing good to say about Jesus Christ, you need to let him be Lord. You need to get born again. Because here's the thing, if we really believe, if we really trust that the Word of God is the truth, and we're really believing in Jesus Christ, we're really born again, all the things that it promises are ours. And we need to be living according to them, living in accordance to them. And if we're not, then we're living below what He's set up for us. I'm not talking about cars and planes and video games, the greatest toy story there is. I'm not talking about all this material stuff. I'm talking about joy and peace residing in the midst of storms, in the midst of everything, and our kids, and you don't understand, and our sister, she wants to give up, and whatever. In the midst of all that, we can have a smile on our face, knowing in whom we believe, and being fully persuaded he's able to keep it. Because I trust in him, because he told me to do that. Lay your burdens on him, he says, so I'm going to lay them on him, and then live in peace and joy. I'm not saying you act like an idiot and nothing's going on. I'm saying this is the confidence we have in him, Scott mentioned so often. This is the confidence. Whatever we ask. He said, if my words abide in you and you abide in my word, you can ask what you will. It's that simple. But we argue with it up here, and we want to try to fix it up here, and we want to try to understand it with everything up here. I'm telling you, it's that simple. We just need to trust in him. We need to live according to his word. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord.